Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 17 with me, Rafe Blanford.
With me, Steve Litchfield.
And Stefan Constantinescu.
Thanks for joining me, guys. Well, the first thing we're going to cover this week is a bit of news. Well, we would if there was any exciting news to cover, but there hasn't been a lot going on in the last week. But I understand that, Steve, you've been following something about Stravos with position arc. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I wish I could do a proper Greek accent. I could say, it's all about position art and filming in the Rome, filming of the Rome, and cats pooing and lots of other weird things are going on in Rome last Friday. And One World invented this fictional character who's a rather great creation. I think he should have his own TV series called Stavros, the Master of Position Art. And he wanders around cities and landscapes with a Nokia N82, geotagging as he goes, producing a track which you can then view on the likes of Google Earth, so to create a work of art on the landscape. Oh, I'm sounding like Stavros now, but it's a great idea. I think, why hasn't someone thought of this before? And I think there's a potential for extending creating works of art and shapes on neighborhoods near you using the Nokia N series and the geotagging and the GPS functionality. So kudos to One World and Nokia PR here. It's a really great little stunt. I followed it for most of the day. I love the guys, the guy's comedy accent. I love the scripting and the impromptu ad libs as well. Kudos all round, and it's given me an extra kick up the backside for playing with the N82 when I next get a shot at a review unit.
So just to clarify for me, Steve, is this sort of drawing virtual lines on the ground, and they, when you see them as a bird's eye view, they appear as art?
That's it, or as a cartoon obscenity, depending on who created it. I know Stefan posted a particular example. But yeah, that is the idea. I think it's a cool idea.
Thanks, Steve. And of course, there has been some news outside the Symbian world this week, and I'm thinking of the Apple SDK announcement for the Apple iPhone. We won't go into too much detail here, as I'm sure people have read about it elsewhere, but there are an interesting couple of components that I want to comment on and get your opinion on from the Nokia side of things and the Sony Ericsson side of things. I'm thinking particularly of the application store, but there are some other elements we'll cover. Steph, maybe we'll start with you. What was your initial reaction when you saw this announcement?
Well, when I first saw it, I thought it was absolutely brilliant, because the hardest part of any smartphone platform is to find actual third-party programs to install. And having one centralized repository that you can access on your computer as well as your phone is utterly genius. The 70-30 revenue sharing split, some may think it's excessive. Some may think that it's high in the start so that as time goes on, it can drop. I'm not too comfortable with the fact that Apple controls what application can be installed on your phone and which applications can't be. That's very hesitant. And the fact that you can only provide third-party applications through the application store, again, I'm not very comfortable with that. But I think that the majority of users won't care, and they won't try to install torrent applications and VoIP applications. Mainly they'll install probably augmented MP3 players or stuff like that.
And how about you, Steve?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with what Apple are doing. Given what we talked about last week, Rafe, you and I talking about the mess that Symbian Signed is currently in, and they're just about getting themselves out of. That Apple controlling things end-to-end, I think, can work in terms of preventing malware, preventing user confusion, and because of the App Store thing being on every iPhone, and every iPhone essentially being the same in terms of basic configuration, I think this is a jolly workable solution for getting applications out, generic applications. I think low-level utilities were blocked by Apple, as Stefan mentioned. And ultimately, naughty things like torrents will be out. But generic applications, things like password stores and games and vertical applications, they'll come through just fine. The 70-30 split, I think, is also fine, as long as Apple don't split from that, change from that. The initial take by places like Handango and Palm Gear, they start okay and they start to screw their developers. I think if Apple can stick 70-30, that's a fair shot all round.
Yeah, no, Go on.
Yeah, the Nokia's download system is what interests me, because Nokia have had the same sort of system as App Store for quite a while now, probably over 2 years on their S60 smartphones. They haven't really put as much effort into it as I think they should have done. But we are just seeing, this morning I posted a story on the site about adding extra games catalogues and an extra video player. These are only small things in terms of extending download, but it does show that Nokia are still thinking about what goes into download. They are still thinking about extending it. And I'd like to see much more effort put into integrating the sort of applications that are available on the download and the E-series devices. This again comes back to this whole N-series, E-series dichotomy. On the E-series, you get, for example, whole of the Epochware back catalog, handy safe, handy blacklist, handy whatever. It's all there on download, ready to trial versions. You just hit the button and it's on your device. On the N-series, it's all gaming. Why can't they two just get together? These applications are fully compatible either way. So Nokia could put more effort into download, and in theory, they've got an app store equaler, if not a beta.
Yeah, no, I think those are both fair comments. The interesting thing that struck me about this application store was actually its exclusivity. What I mean by this is that applications can only be distributed through Apple directly, either on the application store on the iPhone or via iTunes on the PC, or obviously the Mac. Now, I think this is actually rather a fly in the ointment because it doesn't allow developers to host applications on their own site and offer them for download. It just has to go through the central catalog. And I know in talking to mobile developers on various platforms that an awful lot of business does in fact go through directly through their sites. And so having the awkwardness of pointing people to go via the Apple solution, I think is perhaps less than optimum. I think it's great that Apple have done this, but I also think that locking it down completely is a mistake. Moreover, when you have everything in one application store, it can become harder to find things. And I'll sort of draw an analogy that the search and discovery on big catalogs is much harder than when you can have them on niche catalogs. And one of the things I do like about download is it's not everything muddled into to one category or one shop. It does actually effectively allow multiple shops within the download application. That's something Nokia haven't exploited very much, but you'll see on some phones you can get a Handango option, which has its own categories, and a Nokia Software Market, which has its own categories. So I don't think people should automatically assume that this is the best thing going in terms of Apple. I think in terms of long-tail applications, actually the centralized Apple approach isn't necessarily the best thing since sliced bread. I also think the fact that Apple has a lot of control over what goes in is slightly unfortunate in that it probably means we won't see some of the things, applications like voice over IP. I mean, that remains to be seen, so it's not really fair to criticise that yet. But I agree with Steve, it does sort of point the way in terms of how you can make applications much more prominent on a phone by offering this application store and doing the same thing with download. Actually, Sony Ericsson have done something fairly similar on their P-series devices. They actually have an application store on the device, and rather than being a client application, it actually links to a mobile website. But it has very much the same impact. In talking to Sony Ericsson, it's evident from this is one of the main reasons that Sony Ericsson's P-series phones actually are among the best sellers in application terms in the Symbian world. What I mean by that is the average number of applications sold per phone is far higher for the P-series than it is for S60. Now, that's partly down to the positioning of the phones, but I also think it's because Sony Ericsson has a superior solution in terms of an on-device client. And I know it's something that something like Handango have also worked in hand, and they've said for customers that have access to an on-device client, they see much higher application sales. So just to get a quick opinion from Steve and Stefan here, do you think that's something that Nokia should actually make more of an effort towards doing, improving download and making it into a more rounded and effective on-device client application, Steve?
In a word, yes. Stefan?
Well, I could say yes, because I think it's the most genius thing on earth, but the politics surrounded with how much revenue Apple keeps versus the operators who are essentially, they're turning into pipes. And if Nokia did the same thing, there would be much more resistance than with Apple. So while I think it's a fantastic idea, I think there's going to be some push from the operators if Nokia tried something similar.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And that's the answer I was kind of hoping to get. And I think people have to realize there are some commercial realities that mean this sort of thing doesn't always happen. I'd actually also flow throw out one more point, that as we probably know, the number of iTunes tracks sold per iPod is nowhere near its capacity. I think the average now is between 10 and 20, depending on your market and model type. And just because you've got access to be able to buy applications, it doesn't necessarily mean that people will. So I think it'll be quite interesting to watch what happens in terms of sales for these applications and content. And I think operators in particular will be watching this carefully, because as Stefan quite rightly says, this is mobile application content, or mobile content in general, has previously been the domain of the operators. And they're already giving away a lot to Apple in terms of shared revenue, so whether they'll be happy to keep that keep happening will be very interesting to see. The other thing that came out of the iPhone SDK announcement, which I think was quite interesting, was the provision of $100 million application development fund, or basic venture capital fund, and as Stefan is telling me in the back channel, it's called the iFund. Now, I actually have a fairly negative feelings about this, but before I give my view, I just want to see what Stefan thought about this.
Well, if you calculate 100 million over the amount of iPhones they want to sell by the end of 2008, then essentially you're saying that this one angel investor wants to invest about $10 to $20 per iPhone out there. And I don't really know if we should be pushing developers to create applications to make money, because I think that the best applications are somebody creates because they want to solve a problem, and they worry about the revenue later, I think.
I think that's a very valid point. Steve, do you have any particular feelings on this?
I would like to agree with Stefan there, but there is the commercial reality that money does attract developers, and it does attract interest. Google have done the same thing with their Android platform. Sony Ericsson, not to the same extent, but they have their annual programs of UIQ Open, people developing to win prizes and win money and win devices, which is not on the same scale. It's the same idea. All's fair in love and war. We'll continue to see some great commercial apps develop purely as commercial enterprises. We'll see some apps come through these contests and taking part in iFund and the like, and we'll see some great hobbyist things simply come out of nowhere because people wanted to solve problems and have some fun. So it's a big world out there. There's room for all sorts of apps.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think the other thing to consider here is that, as Stefan pointed out, the return on interest has to be fairly large in terms of actually making this work. And I don't really think it can be seen as anything more really than window dressing, because if your idea is good enough, you're going to be able to find funding for it anyway. Actually, 100 million isn't all that much in some ways. It sounds a bit blasphemous to say that, but if we think of a company like Shouzu, well known in the Symbian world for its ability to upload media to various sites, do you have any idea how much that's been funded for over the last 5 years or so, Steve?
Nope, tell us.
It's been funded for $30 million, so you could think of that entire fund being taken up by just three Shouzus. It's not quite accurate to say that, but it's just pointing out that the money involved tends to be much larger scale, and I think limiting it to the iPhone actually makes it pretty impractical, because any successful mobile developer these days is not looking at targeting just one platform. They're looking at a multiple platform approach, especially for something like the iPhone, which is in the next couple of years may get up to 25 million devices, but you know, that's relatively small scale next to something like Windows Mobile, or of course even more so with Symbian, which will probably sell 100 million devices this calendar year, and in the future is going to be looking, while Apple's at 25 million say by the end of next year, Symbian's likely to be more around the 300 million mark, 10 times as much. So we'll leave that aside now for this insight. Maybe something we'll come back to in the future. But now we're going to move into something that I know is a very subjective area, and that's form factors and which form factor you prefer on your device. I'll talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages. But first of all, let's get the preferences from the Insight members, starting with Steve.
Yeah, as I suggested this topic, I guess I should go first. I've written several articles for various magazines on this topic, partly because I have one of the biggest collections at any moment in time of different devices all swiveling and twisting and sliding in different ways. But it all comes down to robustness, screen size, and text input for me, those three factors. And there still isn't a single perfect device out there, but at the moment I would say the Nokia N82 is pretty darn perfect. If I could only fix this wretched white text on silver background, which I'm hoping the black N82 will do for me at some point in the future. Until then, I'm using the N95 8GB black, which is a slider, and I've dropped it about once or twice in the last month, and I know I shouldn't. I take great care of my devices, but you just can't avoid dropping phones sometimes. And each time I drop it, my subconscious thinks, oh, that slider's a bit looser now and doesn't feel quite such a high quality phone in the end. I'm looking forward to getting back to a single piece candy bar with no ribbon cables, no sliding movie bits. So for me, the ideal phone would be a candy bar, and that will happen at some point in the future. Maybe even one of these new E-series devices with a smaller, thinner QWERTY keyboard, but something in this one piece.
I know Stefan's rather a fan of the N82, so I suspect I might be getting a similar answer, but Stefan, take it away.
Well, as much as I love the N82, I will have to say that my favorite S60 device out there is the E61i. I mean, for me, that's the perfect form factor, hands down, because I have huge hands and that phone is quite chunky, but at the same time, it's skinny and it fits in your pocket. So.
Oh, that's interesting to hear, but it's all, again, the candy bar form factor, but presumably it's also the text input on the QWERTY keyboard that you like there.
Absolutely.
Well, I agree with you. QWERTY keyboard is very nice, but I don't mind the slide on the N95 quite so much, and one of the things I do like is having the multimedia controls on the top, because it does make it very easy to use when it's in your pocket as a multimedia playback device, because you can just feel for the buttons. But I guess I'd also say that I'm always interested in seeing new innovations in form factor, and this is something I'm sure we'll see more of in the future. I look at something like the N93 or the N90 when it first came out, that kind of transformer form factor kind of blew me away at the time. It was a very neat solution to getting what was quite a chunky device down to a slightly smaller size, and did have a great keypad, the N93 in particular. So I think it does depend on the individual, and obviously something like the flip phones have been very popular in the States, where the candy bar form factor has been more popular in Europe, and I think the slider is something that originally came out of Asia, really, and each market has its own preferences. And what it is to me is, in some ways, the form factor matters less than just the overall build quality and robustness of the device, and I don't think it's a surprise that both Stefan and Steve have chosen two devices that are extremely well built in terms of build quality. And the problem that I have with the N95 is, as Steve says, over time the slider does become loose. Now, if they could fix that, I'd probably have far less of an issue with the form factor. If I had to pick out one favourite, I think it'd probably be something like the E51, which is nice and small and feels extremely solid and well built. And I'm probably also falling into the form factor device of candy bars. But before we move on, Steve, do you think there are advantages to be had in any other form factors, or perhaps one you'd like to see that doesn't exist yet?
I'm going to save that for an article where I can illustrate my point rather than trying to wave my hands around in front of the microphone. But just one comment going back to the N93. I want to add a bit of anecdotal chat. You've all seen pictures of the N93, of course, and all about Symbian. It twists, it swivels, it rotates this way, it rotates that way. And when I had one, and I still believe it's one of the best smartphones ever created, but I just can't take it outside and use it in the real world without worrying about it and cosseting it and having to cushion it in pillowed bags. And when I'm afraid of sitting on it, dropping it and breaking it. When I took it to a Nokia service center to have the firmware upgraded, he was saying, oh, this is, I went on a course for this, and we spent 2 days trying to dismantle it, put it back together again, and there's only three people in the country who can do it. And it's really brought home to me how incredibly complicated some of this transformer technology is. When it's working, it's great. The moment it breaks, you know, you really are up infamous street with a creek without a paddle. One other anecdote about the E51 and how well made that is. My wife's got an E51, which you saw from the navigation article on the site. And last week she dropped it down the toilet after she flushed it, I hasten to add. it was down in the water for about 5-10 seconds. She fished it out, and the screen looked a bit funny. After a minute or so, she met up with me, and we took the battery out, blah, 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 put it in the airing cupboard for 24 hours, and it's been working absolutely perfectly ever since. And in addition to the metal chassis, which means that every time it gets dropped or sat on or bashed around in a bag, it doesn't bat an eyelid, and the fact that it recovered from this water incident, I would again say the E51 is a terrific little smartphone which pretends to be a phone.
So there you have it, an All About Symbian exclusive. You can successfully drop your E51 into a toilet.
but not your N93, or drop it into anything for that matter.
Yes, no, I think you probably have to be more careful with other devices. And so look, water immersion is something we wouldn't recommend at any time, really. But if it does happen, as Steve says, the best thing to do is to take the battery out and maybe take the memory card out as well and dry it out slowly. Don't sort of put it in the microwave, because it doesn't like that sort of thing either. But the airing cupboard or, you know, somewhere on a dry shelf is probably the best thing to do. I think that's probably all that we've got time for on this week's Insight. But before we do go, I just want to ask both Steve and Stefan about the forthcoming CTIO. And do we think that Motorola are going to be able to make anything of a comeback? And we'll just do this very briefly, because Motorola have been coming for a lot of stick recently, and we've heard about how they're going to divest their various mobile phone divisions, or what's going to happen to the business. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Motorola shouldn't be written off just yet. And with their home show, which is CTIO in the States, coming up, I think we may see a little bit of new stuff from them. So what would your opinion on that, Stefan?
Well, right now they're the underdog, and everyone always loves the underdog. So I'm going to say I hope they come out with something interesting.
Yep, no, I'd agree with that. And Steve?
I don't think they will come out with anything interesting. I think they'll put on a good deal of flag waving and come out with some improvements to their US models and US range. I just get the impression their heart's really not in the Z10 and the UIQ-based smartphones at the moment. I really hope I'm proved wrong, but I'm a tiny bit sceptical.
Okay, so there we go. Next week is, of course, Easter, so we probably will have a delayed Insight at some point. I'm not sure quite how we're going to work that out. And after that will be CTIA, so we'll have some news out of that, I'm sure, at some point. But thank you for listening this week, and thanks for joining me, Steve and Stefan.
No problem.
Yes.